Just a really, really quick point.
Really quick
online.
Now. Just tapes quick with no interruptions.
Really suggest.
Yeah, real quick, okay?
Because we're running out of time, you know.
Come on, hurry up. I mean, we've got like 5 seconds, what? Welcome to Pure Ownage Podcast number 7. It is already. I'm your host as always. Well, not as always, because last time I wasn't your host because it was a bit sick and wrecked and shit. But I'm your host for this episode, and my name is D-Loco. With me, as ever, is Kashmir Z. What's up, Kashmir?
You know, Sky and stuff, I guess. How's it going, everybody?
I'm sure everyone's fine. I mean, people are loving all over the place. With us also is Ion, back from the dead.
Woot. Insert comedy catchphrase here.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, and someone else who's gotten voice is Femme. What's up, Femme?
Hi, it's because I'm special.
You're special. So do you go to the special school, or?
I already graduated from special school.
Wicked. Props for that. You sound a bit like Bulletproof sometimes.
That is possibly the worst insult you can give someone.
Okay, Bulletproof sounds like her, for fuck's sake. All right, moving on. Isn't there a certain episode of Pure Onis that we were supposed to have seen already? I'll ask Hirosui. Hirosui, what have we been supposed to be watching today? And what have we missed?
The episode 8 of Pure Onage.
Correct. You are going through for the refrigerator and the VCR. Seems that Pure Onage episode 8 got delayed for about 12 hours or so. I mean, talk about planning. I mean, that was kind of to be expected. I mean, I didn't expect it to be out on time anyway, but...
I don't know, I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, it says here in the news that they're adding tons of awesome stuff. So, you know, that's something to look forward to, I guess.
Tons of awesome stuff. Well, that's what I'd say if I postponed my episode for 12 hours.
Yeah, I wonder how much awesome stuff they can cram in 12 hours.
All I'd say is the site has actually been updated on the download site. They've changed the name of episode 7 from girl to girl, I believe. So they are actually doing things, even if it's just, like, kind of boring. Changing letters stuff.
Yeah, so that's a bit of a letdown. I mean, that means we're going to have to wait till next week until we can talk about episode 8, but at least we'll be able to throw spoilers in the air because everyone will already seen it. But that's not the only thing that's being postponed. Also, the voice chat with the Pure Onage crew is being postponed a full 24 hours, so that's going to be held
voice
at the same time
requested.
Tomorrow. That's like 1 p.m. EST. That's about it for Pure Onage. Alright, so, I mean... Does that leave us with absolutely nothing to talk about?
Well, for those who, you know, bothered to listen to Pure Onage Podcast Episode 6, we talked about EVE Online, right?
Yeah. I remember you kind of got me a bit interested in it.
Well, as you know, DeLoco, we've been playing that all week, and we're all fucking addicted to this game.
I would agree.
Yeah, so what kind of... It's a space game, right? I mean, I've been playing it for a while. It's an MMO set in space with spaceships and stuff. But it was quite different than what I expected. How do you think people... Or could you talk a bit about the game and what it really is like to play it?
Well, I mean, you know, it's... first things first, it's endless, you know, possibilities. The combat engine, it's got a lot of interesting features. I mean, you can upgrade weapons, you can train different skills and use them in a, you know, whole variety of different ways. As far as, you know, you can create corporations, gain power, you know, player-run stations. Tons of this shit. Tons of... It's practically endless, the amount of things that you can do in EVE Online.
I started playing EVE Online today, and within about 4 hours of playing the game, I've actually cancelled my World of Warcraft subscription, because EVE Online rocks. I mean, the only thing I'd say for people is the tutorial kinda is long, and you got to be hardcore to make it through the other side.
Voice
kinda
requested.
Once. That tutorial takes 3 hours, man. But and you're talking to the guy who's played the tutorial all the way 3 times.
Yes, why?
We all worship D-Loco.
But, yeah. Well, Ion, can you tell me, like, a bit about, like, this free trial? Because it's an MMO, so you gotta pay every month. But, I mean, how does this work? How much does it cost? How can you get a free trial? Where can you buy the game? How does this work? Can you tell me a bit about that?
No worries, my friend. Well, at the bottom now, there is a link, which is in TeamSpeak, so if you want to find it. You click on that, and you enter your email address and it's the special code that's on the right, and you're given 2 weeks to try the game out. You'll be sent in the CD key, your email, which you click and it activates. Then you download the game, which is half a gig, which is quite a beefy download, but, you know.
Well, that's not beefy for a full game. I mean, you get the full game, right?
You get the full game. No, like, kind of half-spanking trial stuff.
It's only available via a digital wizard.
Player list requested.
Simply download the trial game, or the game itself. If you can get a trial account, enter your trial key. But once your trial is done, the only way to get the game is to either enter your credit card number or use some other mystical method of payment, which I'll ask Casimir Z about because he's stuck without a credit card. And that's how you buy it. You buy the game, you pay $20 to buy the full game, which also gives you a month to play for free. After this, you can pay, I don't know, it's about like the same price as World of Warcraft every month. Casimir, can you talk a bit about the payment?
Well, yeah, they got a variety of different payments other than credit card. What they have is they have a setup with a company called Pay by Cash. You can get to them by paybycash.com. And basically that offers a whole different variety of payment options in a whole manner of countries. And yes, you can mail the money, you know? Granted, you have to mail it to America, but you can still play the game without having a credit card. They also have game cards, but unfortunately they are in very limited stock. As far as I know, they're only in Iceland. But for all you Iceland Pure Energy Podcast listeners, run out to the shops. But yeah, Pay by Cash, definitely an interesting feature and quite helpful for those without a credit card.
Yeah, also, I can see that one guy running out of his house to the shop right now. Well, there's tons of payment options available. That's really cool. The developers has really spent a lot of time into this game. There's also some questions in the chat about system requirements people have listed. I'll just say, this computer will run on a fucking shitty-ass computer, no problem. It's got amazing graphics. It's probably the best-looking MMO out there, and that's not bad for a game that's 2 years old. And it runs on, what's that, like a Pentium 3, 450 megahertz or higher. You know, it only need like a few, like 256 megs of RAM. So yeah, I mean, the game runs perfectly. It's a really cool game. I love it. It might be a bit hardcore for people who just want instant action, because it's not about, because Casimir addressed the fact that combat...
Player left.
But that's not like the main facet of the game, and also it's a space game, it's like a space Viking, but you don't use a joystick. You basically click on your targets and you click on your weapons and you orbit them and fire and shit. And you can
New
use various
player.
Ways of making money, like mining and shit, and transporting, hauling, selling stuff, etc. Anyway, you know, suffice to say, the game is really cool. It's got some innovative stuff, like it doesn't have a leveling system. Ragnar, could you tell us a bit about the leveling system and the skill system?
Or the lack of?
Yeah, personally, I think it's the best leveling system ever. Well, lack of, because it's a skill system, which is, yeah, my preferred type of skill advancement or advancement, character advancement at all. So basically, the whole skill system is based in real time. So if you start training a skill, it might say, for example, that training to level 2 mining might take 1 hour, and then you can log off and log in 1 hour later and it will be finished. So basically, when you get higher up in the skill trees, you will have skills that will take about 10 days or more to finish. And you'll basically train it for a very long time, but you don't have to be in-game to actually do that. Which, in my opinion, is very good
Voice
in the way that
requested.
Since it's a game you pay for, you won't feel like you're... Just because you're not playing the game at that moment, you're wasting your money or something, because... Yeah, I personally like it very much.
I was just going to say that... It's really, like you said, it's a diverse game, and I mean, like, it's pretty much got everything for everyone, you know what I mean?
Why are we plugging this game so much? Well, the reason is that we've really gotten into this game as a community. All the guys down here in TeamSpeak come here every day, we get on the channel, we talk to each other, play the game, and more so than just it being a very cool game, it's just a very cool thing that we've got going on here. We've got our own Pure Onage Corporation, and any fan who is willing to hook up with us in the TeamSpeak channel can join our corporation. You can come on down. We'll help you out. Any questions you've got, we'll help you with those. So, you know, although the game, it does take a lot of time and effort to get into, and it might be a bit tedious at first, the whole team play thing that we've gotten going on, and you know, the friendly atmosphere is definitely rewarding. And yeah, so Chase, you've been on, you've joined us for quite a while. You've been on TeamSpeak every day. You want to talk about the game a bit?
No.
Oh, okay. Be like that.
I'm all right. Yeah, okay. The thing I like about the game is the mining. We're running an operation at the moment where we have a couple people mining and a couple people protecting them. And then we just do that and we earn a lot more than you think.
Alright, cool. So, yeah, basically that means play EVE Online. If you didn't quite figure out how to get the game, feel free to come into the TeamSpeak server. We'll tell you how to get the game. And we have some information set up here. So that's cool. But in other news, which kind of relates with EVE Online, because the creators of EVE Online, CCP, are sponsoring a certain gaming event in Japan, the Tokyo Game Show. Yeah, Tokyo Game Show 2005 is going on, I believe, right now. I believe the final day is at the moment coming to an end. And there's a lot of cool stuff on there. One of the coolest things that's going on there is the unveiling of the Nintendo Revolution controller. Now, in Pure Onish podcast number 3, we had a huge discussion on next-gen consoles, and we didn't have that much information on the Nintendo Revolution. Well, this time we do, because Mr. Iwata, I believe his name is, or Miyamoto, which one of the two was it, unveiled the Nintendo Revolution controller. Now, which one of you guys have actually seen this device?
Me.
I have.
So what do we see? We see it's a remote control. Oh my god. Have they gone insane?
This real picture right here that I'm looking at?
That is the new Revolution and its controller. Yeah, that is.
3 letters that come to mind. WTF.
Mike?
Yeah, WTF indeed.
There is in fact what is described as a nunchuck analog attachment, which has an, it's basically something to you plug in the bottom of your remote control. And, yeah, and you turn it around. It's also been described as an Apple-esque kind of feel to it, like an Apple Mac, which I can actually see. It does look ridiculously like an Apple Mac.
All right, now, I understand everyone's like, oh my god, what the fuck's going on, eh? Because it looks bizarre. It's like, what do you need a remote control for? This is not a controller. Well, actually, the technology behind this device is quite ingenious. But what this thing can do is it detects motion. Built into the Revolution is a wireless motion detector which activates using a sort of infrared portal on the front of the remote, like a normal remote control. What this means is that if you you can use the remote control to point anywhere on the screen. If you move it closer to the screen, you can zoom in if you want. You could use it as a tennis racket in a tennis game, as a fishing rod in a fishing game. You could take two remote controls and use them as drumsticks in a drum game. Anything you can really imagine. Oh, how about a first-person shooter? You can use it to look around. And as Ion also pointed out, there is a Ninchaku add-on, which that picture shows you, is a analog controller. Now, you could imagine playing an FPS on a console when you're using your actual hand to look around and a joystick to move around. I mean, that's basically very very much up the alley of the keyboard and mouse controller. I mean, we were talking in episode 3 about how definitely I felt that controller sucks for FPS games, but they've already set up Metroid Prime 2 for this function, and the reports are that it's pretty fucking sweet. I see in the chat that a lot of people are thinking, whoa, that's pretty cool. So anyone want to share, just give some voice and people, you know, talk about it.
Actually, I thought it was crap, but are you asking me to say it's good? Yes, it's totally awesome. Yeah, honestly, this thing's like,
but
oh, not.
It sucks. I mean, go ahead. I mean, if you don't like it, right,
okay.
You don't like
the thing I don't like about it, right? Is I'm fed up with gay fishing games. How does that? Or what? What the hell, man? 360 owns it.
Why does the 360 own?
No, it will own it. I'm telling you.
Imagine if Nintendo brought out a game where you could actually bash a tramp over the head with different things. Imagine how good that would feel if you got like the remote control and you just like swinging at the screen and you sort of tramp getting beaten into a pulp, or you know, random objects getting beaten into pulp. How good would that feel, man?
What the hell? Are you drunk, man? You're talking about beating tramps, Nintendo making a game to beat tramps.
Beat fishermen, then.
I think it's kind of interesting. I mean, hey, you're going to be getting some exercise somewhat if you're beating tramps. So
exactly.
Bum fights.
See, and then that's where Chase comes along when he's beating the tramps to death, and then they don't say no.
So, Chase, you said something interesting back there.
About
you said that the Xbox 360 will own the revolution. Why do you think that?
Because I've seen this, like, I know there's a bigger background for, maybe because in Japan there's people like Nintendo and PlayStation more, but I think they might actually nail Japan this time with the 360, with it being smaller and not the size of an average Japanese house.
See, the thing with that is, my friend, is that the PlayStation has, as many of you know, the PlayStation 2, when it came out, it was rushed at release to try and beat Xbox out. Now this time, obviously when the Xbox came out, it was far more powerful, and basically graphically owned the PS2. And in my opinion, the only thing that pulled the PS2 through were the games. But this time around, Sony have taken a kind of laid-back view in it and telling Xbox that they can, like, you know, telling Microsoft they can do what the hell they like, but they're going to take their time, like they did with the PlayStation 1. You know, they got it perfect. So in my opinion, apart from the fact that the PS3's controller looks like kind of a PS1 controller with two giant dildos attached to either side, I mean, I think that it's gonna own, because it's got, specs-wise, it's a little bit more powerful, but I think that the PlayStation is going to it's going to completely own, wipe the floor with everything apart from maybe the revolution, because there's a lot of Nintendo fans out there.
Let me just say this, right? If you're going to get a Nintendo, you must like cel-shaded games, because that's all that's going to be on it, man.
But, you know, on the side of graphics, right, I see, like, the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360, right, and all this crap about, like, latest hardware and, you know, the best graphics and stuff, and I'm pretty sure that they will have better graphics than the Nintendo Revolution, for instance, but, I mean, why is all this emphasis on graphics? Because that's not the main focal point of a console. Because you buy a console, and, you know, 1, 2, 3 years later, it's going to be completely outdated compared to, say, PC games. If you want to get the latest graphics, get a PC. If you want to play, you know, cool games, I think consoles should be far more about the games. And, you know, we're seeing all these, this eye candy, which I think is so bullshit, because, in fact, these consoles have been made so much dedicated towards graphics that they're actually compensating certain techniques that allow for more advanced AI, because they work in a linear processing system. So basically, what I'm trying to say is that consoles aiming at better graphics are gay.
That's a bold statement.
Fair enough. Yeah. Me and Cashmere have been playing Legend of Zelda.
Yep.
Going back.
I agree with your point, D-Loco, but I think that it's not just all about gameplay, if you know what I mean. For 80% of it, in my opinion, is gameplay, but you know what I mean? If you've got a really good gameplay and the graphics are kick-ass too, then it just kind of makes the whole thing damn sweet.
Yeah, but it looks to me as if they're compensating, you know, they're taking, like, graphics instead of gameplay. Like, they're pulling graphics over gameplay, because you gotta remember, I mean, it took them, I think, about 3 years before the release of Doom 3, the Doom 3 engine was already done, and it took them 3 years to develop the game, because the artist had so much trouble actually getting to terms with the amount of work that comes with such an advanced engine. And when the expectancy for graphics becomes so high, people are going to be, instead of making cool games, they're going to be making cool graphics. It seems to me that all will be detrimental to the development of games.
True, but my personal, like, biggest biggest thing is Grand Theft Auto. Not the biggest thing as in, like, it's my favourite game, because it's not. But if you look at, like, even the PC version, and especially, like, Grand Theft Auto 1, London, and 2, they didn't focus on graphics at all, and to an extent today they still don't, if you know what I mean. It really is about, like, kind of gameplay and, like, I don't know, area that you can cover and everything like that. It's not all about the whole kind of graphic, because if you look at San Andreas and compare it to, I don't know, like another Xbox first-person shooter or something like that, it doesn't compare graphically, but gameplay-wise, in my opinion, they've really got the whole balance right, if you know what I mean. It's not beautiful, but it'll, you know, it's not crap. But the gameplay kind of pulls it through every time, so that's just my opinion.
That's it.
Cheese.
Well, Ion, there is some good news about the PlayStation 3. I recently saw, or recently this afternoon, I saw the Metal Gear Solid 4 trailer, and that looked very cool, and that was all in-game. Have you seen it yourself?
I personally have, but I do not like Metal Gear. I'm not a big fan, personally.
No, you're not?
I'm afraid not. It's a bit too kind of stealthy for me. I like the whole Metal Gear story. I think they're really good, but, like, once I've played one Metal Gear, you know, I can kind of play them all.
Yeah, you suck.
Quite.
Yeah, I'd like to thank everyone for listening, and everyone for joining in. It's always appreciated. And make sure to be here next week where we talk about episode 8 of Pure Owning. Bye-bye.